The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Bonjour, Laurent. That's not the best my French accent can do.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So while Lee Sterling was talking with Todd, some big things happening in the group stage in Group G. Excuse me, no, not Group G, Group H. Group H, that South Korea and Portugal were tied 1-1. Uruguay was beating Ghana 2-0. Uruguay had to win and have South Korea either lose or tie. So this was in stoppage time with Portugal and South Korea. So at that point in stoppage time for both games, Uruguay advances. South Korea scored on Portugal in stoppage time to win 2-1 to knock Uruguay out of the knockout round.
The scenes at the Portugal-South Korea match are so funny. I think we mentioned this yesterday at some point too. But two teams playing each other, both celebrating an advancement to the knockout stage, is so weird and so cool.
If you're Uruguay, and this is why they play the matches at the same time.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter for Portugal because they already had 6 points. So if they were to lose to South Korea and Ghana were to beat Uruguay, they still would have made it to the next round. And they would have won the group because they had already had a 3-goal differential. So Ghana had to beat Uruguay by 3 goals, and Uruguay also felt like they had to win. So I think halfway through the match, Portugal like took all their players out, like made as many substitutions. Like Ronaldo came out, and you know, different Portugal players. And so
you named my one. I didn't have a second one.
I did
Sorry.
Too. I named the one as well. And so Uruguay is watching, you know, the Uruguay fans and everybody watching this match, and Portugal's like, we're good. We're getting ready for the knockout round. We don't need to be out here busting our butt. And South Korea gets 2 goals and advances. I also wonder if Portugal's like, yeah, we don't care if Uruguay's out. We're fine with South Korea making it to the knockout round and not Uruguay. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Who if knows? What you're saying is true, then that means I still don't care.
Yes! Oh, awesome! What about U.S. and the Netherlands tomorrow? Come on, Matt.
You gotta. It's international football, Matt.
Football.
I know some Dutch.
Okay.
So, well, I don't mean I speak like, Dutch. I know people who are Dutch.
Oh, you know some Dutch.
Double Dutch.
So are you rooting for the Dutch tomorrow?
I mean, I'd be happy for whomever wins. I mean, I've got nothing against the Dutch.
Matt just wants everybody to have fun.
You know what?
I mean, well,
everybody just wants to have fun. Just have fun, everybody.
Well, I think everybody would have the most fun not watching soccer, but
see, I disagree. I had a blast. I've had a blast watching.
I do not wish, as I tell Nate Bukitty, I do not wish him any specific harm.
Any specific harm?
What about non-specific harm? Is there non-specific harm that you would wish upon Nate?
I used to be fairly anti-rabid soccer to the point where I would tell you everything that was wrong with the game, ways that you could fix it, what was wrong with you as a person for liking soccer, okay. All these things. I'm no longer that person. I have become what I think is, you know, I think more open and trying to be understanding. Tried to have a big heart. So I do not wish anyone, you know, ill will for enjoying soccer. I appreciate that you're able to find something in your life that you can enjoy that much. And I know there are billions of people around the world that do that. I just don't care.
You're just not one of them?
I'm just not one of them.
I think that's okay. We can't all care about everything. Yeah, and obviously, your expertise is here in Kansas City. So we should probably just get right into it. As we talked about earlier, re-signing Graham Zusi, Roger Espinoza, and Andrew Fontas for Sporting Kansas City. Matt, your thoughts?
I know who two of those three people are.
Good for you.
They are also three people who have never been in my kitchen.
Okay. Have you invited them?
They've never shown up.
I feel like that'd be
although
fun.
I do want to point out that if and when I do ever launch a podcast, it is going to be in a cold tub with a raving lunatic.
That's what it should
be
called.
So. I hope so.
That's what's
in a
be
cold
called.
Tub with a raving
in a cold
lunatic.
Tub, in a cold tub with a raving lunatic.
If you cared, and I know you do, Matt, South Korea advancing, they had the sixth longest odds out of all the teams to win the World Cup. Not just to make it out of there, but to win the World Cup. So they were not expected to be in this position. So it is a big deal for, you know,
it's a huge deal for them. Good, congratulations.
Absolutely, yes.
That's great that Portugal completely rolled over, apparently. And just
I don't know if that's the case.
Let somebody else win.
We're doing a show about Chiefs.
That's a fantastic sport, by the way.
We're busy talking about the Liberty and the Zaspa Gaspa Sarsaparilla Bowl, okay?
That's right.
We got things going on to pay attention to Portugal and South Korea. And then Uruguay and Ghana, who's not going to make it to the knockout round now. We got a lot of stuff going on here to not pay attention to that. So I don't know if they rolled over or not, but, you know, they didn't really need
I should have been here last hour because we could have had some great radio with me telling you both why you're completely wrong about bowl games.
Oh, good. Dude, we should do that.
Go ahead. Let's start with that.
Well, one, I don't care about matchups. I mean, I really don't. So if I'm a Mizzou fan and let's say I had unlimited resources, which of course I don't.
Yes, you
but
do.
But let's say I had unlimited resources, I'd love to be able to be at the Kentucky home game in basketball and go to Tampa in December.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Be great.
Rather than have to choose whether I want to be cold and miserable in Columbia or cold and miserable in Memphis. And this is the very definition of an exhibition game. It is all the only reason to me, and maybe this is because I'm an old man now and everything, mm-hmm, and you know, I no longer have any idealism or optimism in my heart.
Your heart's bigger.
Nothing but practical.
College sports
and understanding,
but they don't care about the fans, so it doesn't really matter at that point. And so,
right, they don't care about the fans.
It's
all about the practices. All about getting ready for next year.
And I know that there have been people that have pointed out and have tweeted me as well that, you know, Missouri doesn't want a conflict, and then points to last year and says, oh, hey, here's Missouri playing Illinois in the Bragging Rights game and then playing in the Armed Forces Bowl against Navy.
Hey, if you can't avoid it.
But that's a great thing to be brought up to point out that Missouri specifically did not want to play in the Armed Forces Bowl last year. And I remember that being an issue, and I'm glad people reminded me. I remember that being an issue, and I remember there being something about the press conference, too. And so I went back and listened to the press conference, and Josh and I listened to it, and Gabe DeArmond asked Desiree Reed-Francois about the Bragging Rights game and the Armed Forces Bowl, and she said, we made it known to the SEC that the Bragging Rights game was starting an hour after the Armed Forces Bowl. We let it be known that that was the case. The SEC decides who's playing where. We're going to make the best of the Armed Forces Bowl. That is, they didn't want to play in the game.
Right.
They wanted to avoid it. So they avoided. They weren't ducking Navy. You know, they weren't trying to not play Navy. They wanted to play in a different bowl on a different time because the Bragging Rights game is a big deal in Missouri fans. And she said, we're going to have a big watch party in St. Louis. It's great because we've got like a big fan base down in Dallas or whatever. And so that's going to be good. So they were saying all the right things. But she did also, she was asked to follow up and they're like, well, how does it work? She goes, well, we sent the SEC a list of bowl games that we preferred. The bowl games then send the SEC a list of teams that they prefer. And she said, then the SEC goes and figures out matchups and things. And when's the last time you played in a bowl? And TV has a little bit of a say and all of that. And then we get told where we're going. Now, I don't know if it matters that the Gaspa Zaspa Sarsaparilla Bowl and the Liberty Bowl are SEC affiliates and the Armed Forces Bowl is not.
You're really gasping for straws on that one.
I'm guessing it has more to do with the fact that the Bragging Rights game is going to sell out no matter what. And they don't have to worry about avoiding the game.
This is a home game against...
Whereas getting people to Columbia during student break between Christmas and New Year is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And if you give anyone a reason not to be there during that time break, I mean, they're not going to. Yeah. I mean, that is the absolute hardest time to get anybody into Columbia because students are all gone. People are on vacations. Nobody's coming in from Kansas City and Springfield and St. Louis to go to the games in between break because they got families and events and parties and everything.
I also acknowledge that, you know, and I would be naive to think that this wasn't the case. One, it's been known that Missouri didn't want to play in the Liberty Bowl before it was Kansas in the Liberty Bowl. That's been known for like 2 months.
Right.
When people were saying, hey, it might be Kansas, Missouri in the Liberty Bowl. And it's like, yeah, but Missouri didn't want to play in the Liberty Bowl because the exact same time as or an hour after or whatever.
If we could have gotten Kansas in the Vegas Bowl.
I had a K-State fan that replied and said, K-State's going to play in the Sugar Bowl at the exact same time that they're playing West Virginia in basketball. And I said, if Missouri's playing in the Sugar Bowl, they would play Kansas or the Chiefs or whoever.
They could play it during your first son's wedding.
I don't care who they're playing in basketball.
Mizzou's playing the Sugar Bowl, we'll just forfeit. We'll play the basketball game down at the Y.
They could play the Lakers in Columbia. And if Mizzou's playing in the Sugar Bowl against Kansas, they're playing in the Sugar Bowl against Kansas.
Well, that's because the Lakers stink.
That's a good point. They would get a win. They would get a win. You know what? Ken Pom also thinks that's like a 50-50 game, is Mizzou and the Lakers. But I say all that to say I'd be naive to think that even if Mizzou didn't want to play in the Liberty game or the Liberty Bowl, that when they found out it was going to be Kansas, that there was an extra sort of push to the SEC like, you know, we didn't want to play, but Greg, we ain't playing. All right. You didn't help us out last year. We told you that we wanted to avoid that. You didn't help us out. Do what you can do this year. Come on. Because we're not playing in that game now.
Yeah.
So I would be naive to think that that's not at least a part of it. Maybe it's not. Maybe that was no motivation whatsoever.
I think it's probably 99% is
not wanting to play Kansas?
No, not wanting to play at the same time as not wanting to play in the Liberty Bowl.
Right. Specific to the ticket thing also, as opposed to last year, the neutral site, they were not going to have any problem getting that building full. I do think that's an interesting wrinkle of, hey, we are trying to sell tickets at home. This isn't, we don't want TV conflicts for our fans. We have people we're trying to get in this building.
When's the Arilla Bowl?
What's that one?
The what bowl?
The Arilla Bowl.
He's just cut the gasp out.
Is Gasparilla a company or a product? Or
I literally just clicked really a tab that says, what is Gasparilla? And then I clicked away because I thought we had moved on.
It's
December 23rd.
Okay.
There you go.
That's the other point. Missouri preferred a pre-Christmas Day bowl game. That's also been known for a couple months. Missouri preferred to play before Christmas.
Is there a logic to that is obvious or not as obvious? Or
I think part of it is maybe more players being around and maybe wanting to participate in the game.
Got it. Okay.
And not having to try to get the players back and reinvested after Christmas.
Get those guys to play before they hit the transfer portal.
And so I think there's a part of like, yeah, we could play after Christmas, but we may have more players opt out if they know that they would then be practicing and everything over Christmas and then playing in a bowl as opposed to playing in a different bowl before Christmas, bowl game's over, season's over, go home and enjoy Christmas the next couple of weeks, you know, and enjoy your break. I think that's also part of it, but, you know, I would have loved to see the Mizzou KU game in the Liberty Bowl.
It would be
That's
fun.
Just me. I would love to see it.
I would like to see it. I completely understand why Mizzou doesn't want to play it, though, and I agree with him. So.
Yeah, I understand why they wouldn't want to play
it. And we get to see it. And, you know, and that's the other, you know, one last part of it, and then we can move on to, real, you know, Chiefs things.
Nope, we're doing bowl talk all hour. There's no big game coming up this weekend at all.
As you guys were talking about, what I was thinking is, you know what? I mean, when Mizzou KU gets together again, I want to be on campus. I don't want Memphis to get the benefit of that. I don't want it to be a semi-meaningless
because they've got the four-game series starting in 25.
I want it to be in Columbia and Lawrence. I don't want Memphis to get the glory of that. They don't deserve it.
Are those all neutral sites, or is there, I forget the contract, is there an Arrowhead or two thrown into there with that one? I guess there'd have to be two neutral sites if there's only four games.
I don't remember. For some reason, when we were talking to Mark Donovan, I was thinking that they
were
all...
Why don't you guys look that up while I follow through on a promise I made a couple minutes ago?
Okay.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
From GasparillaBowl.com, inspired by the legend of pirate Jose Gaspar, Ye Mystic Crew of Gasparilla was founded in 1904 as an organization dedicated to enriching the vitality and imagination of Tampa and its surrounding community. Through special appearances, crew members of the YMKG-established Intra-Crew Council participate in events to promote the Bay Area community. Crew members, decked in pirate attire, regularly visit hospitals, assisted living centers, and schools, engaging in the community and in the spirit and fun of Gasparilla events. I have more questions now, but what the website said.
That's ironic because the Liberty Bowl is named after Jose Liberty, who was also a pirate.
Is it really? Actually, yeah,
no,
it is.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I just made that up.
you said it with enough conviction that I thought that it was actually possible.
When I look at the future non-conference opponents for Mizzou, it just lists home and home. It lists at Mizzou, then at KU in 26, at Mizzou in 31, and then at KU in 32.
Let's put it this way. Those are the years in which they are the designated home teams.
Yeah. So right.
Could
so
it change?
Know.
Could right. could those games name move locations?
Yeah. But at least two of them will be on campus because we know that in the basketball series, two of them are on campus as well. This one being in Columbia, right?
And like I said, I mean,
next week's in Columbia, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
If there's three cities that are going to get the glory of a KU-MU matchup, it needs to be Lawrence, Columbia, or Kansas City.
Agreed.
Not Memphis, for crying out loud. Yes. They don't get our glory. We're not playing. You know, the American Royal and the Texas Barbecue Festival ever meet up, we're not going to do that in Memphis.
Well,
I agree with that.
That actually might make sense.
Yeah. I'd like
bring
to do
them
it
here.
In Kansas.
Rather have them be here. That would be better.
So,
for me.
What are you focusing on Sunday in the game? What are you looking at? What are you focusing on? What are you thinking about in this matchup on Sunday?
I mean, I think that the biggest thing, obviously, is going to be the offenses. I mean, that's going to be who's going to win this game. It's going to be whichever quarterback plays the best. But the matchup that I am most intrigued seeing is this Chiefs young secondary going up against these Bengals receivers, because this is why they were drafted. This is what the Chiefs were going for. It's not exclusively Bengals, but the Chiefs knew that at cornerback and the defensive back, they needed to get younger, faster, bigger, stronger, longer, all those things. And, I mean, that AFC Championship game, was for all intents and purposes what the Super Bowl against Tampa was for the offensive line. I mean, they knew they had to revamp it. They needed to get some guys that could play with these bigger receivers and challenge them, you know, so it wasn't just a matter of being able to throw jump balls to Jamar Chase or Mike Williams or whomever is the 6'3", 6'4" receivers around the league, T. Higgins. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of these big receivers around the league, but what the Bengals were able to do was show the Chiefs that they needed more in a lot of ways in their secondary, and they've got it now. And this is, I mean, I don't mean to put it as a big, you know, as this is the entire game rides on Trent McDuffie and Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, but this is going to be the first big test that we find out if these three guys are really the future of that secondary, and I'm really excited to see it.
That secondary, interesting, and that matchup is part of the trash talk and the bulletin board this week that Justin Reed and Jamar
Chase.
Lock
him down. I don't know his name, but I'm going to lock him down.
I know his number. Like, I don't need to know his number. I'm not looking at the back of his jersey.
You don't need to know his name to lock him up.
No, not at all. I just know the crime that he committed. Who cares what the name is?
No.
He's running at me. He's number 88. That's what I know.
And
if I just know the name and he's running away, then I'd know who I'm supposed to guard. But the number's on both sides of the jersey. Name's only on one. I need to know the number.
And canned tuna is one of my favorite foods. So
is it really?
So calling somebody a can of tuna, I mean, that's a compliment to me.
So was he saying he's going to be eating on Sunday like a cat eating canned tuna?
I did not understand that particular trash talk whatsoever, by the way.
So was like Justin Reed said he was going to get locked up and Jamar Chase was saying, no, I'm going to be eating on Sunday.
I assume he was going to, you know, be eating like a can of tuna. But then again, I like my tuna, but I like it in a tuna salad, so I need a little Miracle Whip and mustard and relish and everything.
Just
and I need some bread
can.
And some chips along with that. Yeah. So
a little relish in there. You a pickle
like
guy?
I said, that the metaphor kind of, you know, I mean, unless he's saying he's a Bengal cat and he's going to eat a can of tuna, in which case that's not going to be very much to eat. So
I think it's
if that's what he's saying, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cruel.
I think he's saying that he's going to be eating on Sunday like a cat eats out of a can of tuna. And the can of tuna is going to be Justin Reed. That's my interpretation.
My cat loves tuna too. So I think that's kind of a compliment. If he's saying I'm a cat and he's tuna, it means he loves him.
Yeah, but if he's getting eaten though.
I mean, this is one of the...
But the tuna's getting eaten though. The tuna's disappearing.
I mean, at least...
It's no longer in existence after that.
At least Justin Reed...
Then it gets pooped out. So that's what he's saying, is you're going to be poop on Saturday, on Sunday night.
There's a
Justin
lot
Reed's
that
trash
talk.
To
read into this trash talk.
Yeah.
This
Justin Reed's
much.
Justin Reed's trash talk was at least straightforward, and even though it was confusing whether which player he was actually talking about,
just call each other a weenie and move on.
He called the brood poop again.
How about hey, you're a weenie? Oh, excuse me. I think you belong at Super Weenie Hut Juniors. That right there, that's devastating, and we would all understand it.
You're an L7 weenie.
I mean,
like a square, a foot long, Dodger dog.
I mean,
weenie.
I feel like Jamar Chase just said, oh, yeah, well, the jerk store called and they're running out of you.
Oh, it's the town of AHs, population one, you.
So much simpler. That's much easier. True.
Do we want to hear Jamar Chase, Von Bell, and Hayden Hurst's response real quick to Justin Reed for those that didn't hear it in the first hour? This is yesterday, Cincinnati Bengals.
Pretty much summed it up verbatim.
You will now find out that we just absolutely.
Here's Jamar Chase saying, well, I'm rubber and you're glue.
I ain't really have no comment about it until he made another comment and said everybody else was going to get locked down. So that's when I buzzed in to decide to say something on Twitter.
Do you think maybe he just hadn't watched enough film on the receivers in Cincinnati?
I don't think he's watching film at all. I don't think he knows his personnel, on whoever he's trying to check or if he isn't even checking anybody. So it's just he need to go back and watch, you know, the film, look at his personnel, look at what he wants to know. So.
Now, I will say this, though, and one thing, and this is always kind of cracked me up about coaches and players and everything, and this is particularly true, I think, of coaches more than the players, but there will be plenty of times that a coach can tell you everything about an opposing player except his name.
Absolutely. We hear the coaches all the time say number this or number that. Yeah. Well, you know, you get Spags talks in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
He
doesn't even know his own players' full names. He just knows LJ.
That's exactly right.
He knows their nicknames.
Right, LJ, 38. Names.
Yes. Yeah. Let's hear Von Bell, who apparently was in the cold tub, hot tub, with or next to Hayden Hurst yesterday.
Reed with Kansas City made a few interesting headline comments, and I know that a few guys have commented on that. What was your reaction to seeing all of that stuff blow up yesterday?
I was confused because what was crazy, I was sitting next to Hayden in the cold tub, in the hot tub cold tub, and he was talking about it. I didn't know what he was talking about. Now it came up to life. I'm like, oh, that's what he was talking about. But I look confused, but we're just going to let the pass do the talking on Sunday.
You know, if he's not able to back this up now, he's going to wish that cold tub was a time machine. I knew I'd get Josh.
The sequel should have been called Cold Tub Time Machine. Because they're getting even older, you know, you're trying to find that rejuvenation.
So he says let the pass do the talking, but also saying, I heard, you know, I didn't know what he was talking about. So I don't know that he was just generally having a discussion. He might have been more animated. I don't know. I'm editorializing on that. But here's Hayden Hurst when asked about Justin Reed's comments.
Going to attempt to cover me that said something about me or to me or I guess whoever he thought he was talking about. Don't really care.
Did you laugh or were you like,
I laughed a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you could pick anybody in this locker room, but you know, I feel like I'm the last person you probably want to talk about because I have a long memory.
So you're keeping their receipts?
It's going to be fun.
I'm going to guess he did not laugh. He said, I laughed a little bit, but I'm the last person in the locker room you want to talk bleep about. I don't think he laughed. He didn't sound like he was having fun and joking with it, because I believe he thinks Justin Reed was saying that Hayden Hurst is a finesse player that doesn't block when Justin Reed was saying number two. Jamar Chase is a finesse player that doesn't block, which in a run game, if number two is coming at me, I don't have to worry about being physical when number two's there. Not a good blocker. He's a finesse player. Those are the guys that I'll be going up against. And they read it as Hayden Hurst is a finesse player and doesn't block.
See, that's why when you talk trash, you got to be specific.
Just realized this because I think we've heard the word two spelled differently because Jamar Chase is number one. What Justin Reed was doing. I thought he said something about Hayden Hurst, T-O-O, maybe, or so Higgins, T-O-O. But number two on the Bengals is Evan McPherson.
God, it's funny. I hear him saying number two, and I'm like, oh, well, he's talking about Jamar Chase, even though Jamar Chase is number one. Everybody knows this. I know this. He's on my fantasy team. So
I think that Justin Reed is going to lock up Evan McPherson, by the way.
That
guy is a finesse player. He does not block.
He's not very physical at all.
Can we hear Justin Reed's comments from yesterday then?
One more pass through, and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Then we're going to break.
By kickoff.
One more try.
I need to pull those ones up.
I think it's from yesterday.
Yeah, let me get
those here. You're just fine.
Let's parse this as much as we can.
Yes.
The crazy thing is that we've been having this conversation now for like 3 days, and I like Justin Reed. every single thing he says in this is wrong. It is all confusing. He's eloquent.
He might be the smartest player on the Chiefs.
Totally.
And got every single thing in this
which
wrong.
Is why I almost think that he did it on purpose.
Oh, oh wow. Wow.
He's
okay.
Playing chess.
I'm going to get the tinfoil out of the break room.
That's the Queen's Gambit.
Because Justin Reed is smarter than the three of us put together.
Yeah,
it's the opening
no
move. It's an opening move by Justin Reed.
The big time tackle, like some of the missed tackles, explosive plays. A lot of it's going to come down to making the play on the ball, you know, and they have 88, Higby. No, it's not. Isn't that Higby? Was with the Rams. What's his name? It's Higby. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down, you know, straight up. You know, we're going to have to come out of the game. Like I said, play our best game and go out and do it.
They're going to have him back, too. More of a finesse type of guy, not the best blocker.
I think that is T-O-O.
Yes.
Yeah, T-O-O. Yeah, it can't be two.
And he's saying that. And that's and that ends
and Jamar
up being
Chase,
the irony,
they're going to have him back, too.
You're thinking they were talking about Chase. Hurst thinks that he was talking about him. And apparently he was talking about T. Higgins.
Or Tyler Higbee.
Or Evan McPherson.
Or it could have
been. Let's not eliminate Evan McPherson.
Could have been Money Mac.
Let's not eliminate Evan McPherson.
Because Justin Reed may want to go and take a shot at Evan McPherson just for the heck of it because, you know, we heard that, you know, the trash talk from Evan McPherson in that game that when Joe Mixon, you know, ran the football and then they, you know, downed it or whatever and Evan McPherson said, we're going to the Super Bowl.
It's not that. Not even
that. Before he walked out on the field.
Not even that complicated, Jason. Great kickers are great competitors. Justin Reed and Evan McPherson.
There it is.
I mean, that is just a battle of great kickers in the NFL. Of course, there's going to be a rivalry
Justin
there.
Reed's going to lock down the Bengals kicking job.
Exactly. Whoa!
There you go. I just can't believe that we're having this long of a conversation about trash talk between the Bengals and the Chiefs, and we're not talking and have not discussed Eli Apple.
Yeah, you're
He's
right.
not involved in this whatsoever.
He's kept his nose clean this week, hasn't he?
That's because Tyreek isn't playing this
fair.
Game.
Oh, there you go.
They already did the Tyreek, Miami, Cincinnati, Eli Apple
Eli's
thing.
Eli's probably talking about trash about Tyreek this week and nobody cares.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't heard from Eli Apple. Hopefully we don't hear. Well, hopefully Eli Apple's name gets called a lot on Sunday because Awuzie ain't out there. So Eli Apple has to play.
I wanted to make this joke to throw to break earlier, but then we ended up talking about Chiefs.
Make it now.
It's not going to make any more sense out of context. But give me Gasparilla or give me death.
Give me a break.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
What if there was a screaming crowd of children out front going, Jason! Jason Anderson! I love the Zone!
I would wonder what I did in life to end up in hell.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm sorry.
Do I need to play the liner and then give you guys a second to catch your breath?
No. Hey, Matt, what'd you think about the... You have us in cue that break beard?
That, all
right. That wasn't over the air, right?
No, it was not.
Matt Derrick, do you think it's a good... Hey, should Patrick Mahomes advertise for a gambling company that pretends to kill him for an ad?
I say no.
Have you seen the Drew Brees thing?
I heard he got struck by lightning. I haven't seen it.
Not really.
He didn't.
That was fake.
It was sort of.
I've been struck by lightning.
What?
All right. Yeah. Jason, hold on. Jason, shut up. Give me your mic. Hold on. Here's what I'm
gonna do. Hold on.
Swing your microphone around. I want all three microphones on Matt.
That's what I'm saying. Drew Brees, I'm just saying, Drew Brees was fake. Matt, you're up.
Okay, all three microphones pointed at Matt. We're getting this in 3D audio.
Okay, so I was in the kitchen, and it was raining and everything like this. And
this is already a crazy start.
And I was talking to my mom on the phone, because I just got home from school and everything. And I'm getting the refrigerator, get something out, and I open the door, and all of a sudden, my vision just starts zooming in and out. And I'm like falling down, and I'm like, you know, curling up into a ball, and all of a sudden, the phone flies out of my hand. And I like fall down, I stagger up and everything, and I'm like trying to get my bearings and whatnot. I pick up the phone, phone's completely dead. So I'm like, my head's ringing, all this, don't know what's going on. So I go to the other room, pick up the phone, it's working, and I just call my mom and I said, something just happened, I don't know what. Something just happened to me, I don't know what it is. I think I need to go to the hospital. So go to the hospital, check me out and everything. And this was like half an hour later when they checked my temperature. My temperature in my right ear was like 104.
What?
And it was completely normal in my left ear. So my mom worked for the phone company, works for Southwestern Bell. So they had somebody come out and look at the line and everything and figure out what happened. And yeah, what apparently happened was that lightning struck either the phone pedestal in our yard, or there was a fence right very close to us, a barbed wire fence. So they think it either hit the fence, the barbed wire fence, or the pedestal itself. If it hit the barbed wire fence, then it just, the electric current jumped to the pedestal, came through the phone, zapped me in the ear, destroyed the phone. The phone was like, had parts melted inside of it and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So I apparently got struck in the ear by lightning.
Drew Brees was fake, but Matt Derrick's was real.
Mine was very real.
So wow. I guess the only remaining question I have is, how did the lightning get from the outside to your iPhone?
You know,
wow, dude.
This is a problem that wouldn't happen today.
Did you still have like headphones? Do you have your headphones plugged in or something to your pot to your phone?
Bluetooth.
Or your,
they're Bluetooth.
Right. If it was, because I wouldn't, because Bluetooth, I don't think would conduct electricity.
So the pod flew out of your ear.
Yeah, so your AirPods flew out. That is legitimately nuts.
Your mom works for Apple?
But I also, the phone company.
Verizon?
I legitimately did have to take a second to figure out how the physics was making sense. Like a corded phone.
I guess I should have explained that it was a corded phone.
No, you shouldn't have. The way I absorbed that story was great.
I guess I should have started with, there used to be called these things called landlines.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, there's a reason they would say, pick up the phone.
So in case
because,
you
because it's either
answer
the
phone.
It's on the,
yes.
In case you ever thought that it was like an
dial,
you
know, tone,
an urban myth that you could be struck by lightning on the telephone.
Yeah. Also, Josh.
That is true.
Also, Josh, you used to have to actually manually roll up and down a window in your car. That's why they call it roll up or down the window. If you never had to do that, they wouldn't call it roll it up and roll it down. It would just be called push it up, push it down. Push it. The window. Or click it, whatever it might be. Not roll. Just letting you know, Josh.
My first car was a 1998 Plymouth Neon. I'm young, but I'm not wealthy, okay? I mean, the phone thing I deserve, but the car thing I...
The save icon the is save the floppy
icon.
Disk.
Yep. The yes. save icon's going to be the one that makes me feel like a very, very, very old man the first time I try to explain it to anyone younger at all.
Oh, yeah.
My sister has no idea what a floppy disk is. There's no way.
Yeah.
People not save documents anymore?
Well, but it's just the save button. It's not, you wouldn't know what it was.
AOL minutes on
God.
A disk to be able to get online. Do you have the disk with the AOL minutes on it to be able to do that? Yeah. All right, so
incredible.
What do you make of the conversation around the Chiefs and the Bengals and how they defended Patrick Mahomes last year? The dropping eight, bringing three, and the adjustment that was made, and the Chiefs not then adjusting to the adjustment from the Bengals and not running it enough. What do you make of that? And then if you haven't heard my stat, I'll give it again with my fun stat from that game.
It's a good stat.
I mean, I feel like that last year that was the Bengals' act of desperation. I mean, that was what they had to go to because nothing else they were doing was working. They got roughed up in the first half of both those games. And I mean, and what they were doing in the second half against Mahomes, I think was just what they had to do. I'm just not sure if that's their first course of action this year, because I'm not sure it's going to work, because it hasn't always worked when teams have tried it this year. So I think they're going to come out with something different. I mean, that's what I think you have to do with Mahomes, is that you have to try and throw him off, give him something that he's not expecting. Chiefs are expecting that. So I think they're going to be better prepared for it this time around. I mean, Mahomes, I think, is more patient than he was in that game last year. So I think they can counter it better. I think the Bengals are expecting them to have a better answer for it now. So I think the Bengals are going to do something different. What they do, I'm not sure.
So here was the shocking thing that I saw by just going back and looking at how the Bengals, just watching the Bengals on defense against the Chiefs on offense in the second half, and when they brought eight or brought three and dropped eight, and when they, you know, went traditional. My recollection was that it was the entire second half, just because that's what it felt
like. It.
Yes. It wasn't the case. So out of the 34/35 plays the Chiefs ran in the second half and overtime combined, they dropped eight only 10 times. Out of the entire second half, they dropped eight guys and brought
three. That
is
surprising.
Only 10 times. What was really shocking to me is that eight of the 10 were on second down. They didn't do it on first down at all.
That's a rundown, Tim. No.
They only did it a couple times on third down. And the Chiefs ran 12 second down plays. Eight of those 12, the Bengals dropped eight. Tendency, they look at and say, Andy Reid on second down, unless it's second and one or two or three, which there were nine of the 12 second down plays that were 4 yards or longer. So is that a tendency that then the Chiefs just never stopped and didn't adjust to? Because, by the way, the Chiefs passed on 10 of those 12. So is that just the Bengals were like, well, this is what you do. This is, we know on second and mid-range, you go to the sticks. You know, you're going to play the mid-range. So are we. We're not going to rush you. We're going to guard everybody, and he's going to get impatient. And he's going to run into a sack because he doesn't want to just sit there and sit there and sit there, which he did a few times in the second half where the pocket was clean, nobody was near him, and then he's just like, well, I'm going to start running to the right. And now you've created the sideline as a defender, and now he throws it away. What's your reaction when you hear that, you know, 8 of the 10 times they ran that were on second down, between second and 4 and second and 10?
Well, it makes a lot of sense because, I mean, that is absolutely a Chiefs passing down, so you're not going to get a lot of surprises. I would be intrigued to know if there were any RPOs in that mix.
There was one. It was the interception with second down and 3. They dropped, and it was actually, yeah, second down and 3, they did drop. So, yeah, because it was a 7-yard gain by McKinnon. It was an RPO. But I believe it was an RPO that everybody read run except for Mahomes. Because Creed Humphrey was, when Mahomes threw the ball, Creed Humphrey was 5 yards down the field. They could have been called for two illegal men downfield because Wiley was 4 yards down the field. And Orlando Brown was running down the field, but he was only 3 yards down the field at that time. They did not think this is going to be a pass because Creed was like, nobody in front of me. I'm getting to the next level because this is an obvious read. And at the top, Tyreek and Travis Kelce weren't really being guarded. So if you were looking for just a quick first down, you would have looked up top. I don't know what Patrick Mahomes was seeing, what he was doing. I believe the offensive line thought that was going to be a run, or Creed and Wiley both wouldn't have been illegal downfield, ineligible downfield.
And that to me is really maybe the only area where I think that Patrick Mahomes has a blind spot in his game, which is that he just doesn't trust the run and the RPOs as much as he should. Because if you, and that's a great case in point, if you are going to throw out of an RPO, you got to throw it immediately. And mm-hmm. We've seen it this year. I mean, anytime Chiefs get called for an illegal man downfield, I won't even say 99. 100% of the time, it's because Mahomes pulled out of a run to throw the football, and he didn't get rid of the ball quick enough. I mean, that's just it. And that's a great example there. I mean, and that happened more than a couple of times in the Bengals game, where I think that if he had gone to the run rather than take the ball, keep the ball himself, I think he made the wrong read.
I think it was pretty obvious he made the wrong read because he threw to where there were like 5 guys and DeMarcus Robinson.
That was definitely the wrong read.
At the top, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were at the sticks. Like, there was nobody around him. Like, the whole play was such a game changer because it was just so confusing as to what they were trying to accomplish on that play versus what Mahomes thought they were trying to accomplish. And that interception then led to the 8 points by the Bengals, the touchdown, the 2-point conversion, and a tie game, 21-21. They had 2nd and 3. They just picked up 7 yards with McKinnon.
I remember the play now. That was exactly it. I mean, it should have been a run.
Should have been a run. There was nobody that was in the middle there. And again, Creed Humphrey goes in 5 yards down the field because he's not blocking anybody because there's nobody there. They were daring the Chiefs to run the ball on second down.
They were. They absolutely were, and they didn't.
But also, how about this? Reed and Bieniemy, take it out of your quarterback's hands. It's not an RPO. Hand the ball off.
Yeah.
Straight handoff.
And you know what? That has been one of the outcomes from that game is that the Chiefs run fewer RPOs now. They still run them, but not as many as they did.
The Chargers' opening drive of the second half was not RPO-driven. It was, you're handing the ball to Pacheco. We're running the ball down the field. Pacheco and McKinnon, it's not going to be a choice. We're running power. We're running, you know, gap or zone. We're doing a lot of different things. But we're running the ball on this drive, unless we have to, unless it's like 3rd and long or something. But we think we can run it. We're going to do it. And they did it. I think that was a missed opportunity in the second half against the Bengals the first go-around of, No. We're not calling pass plays. We're not calling RPOs. On second down, they are dropping everybody and allowing us to pick up 5, 6, 7, 8 yards on the run. We're just not doing it.
And that's why I think that Mahomes, Reed, Bieniemy, that entire group have learned a lot of lessons from that Bengals game and have done things differently this year. As long as they stick to that, I mean, that's why I think they're going to win this game.
We'll find out what you think about the game coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's a clown take, bro.
On Sports Radio 810.
All right, so I just DM'd you a clip, Beards. How long we have in this segment here?
A couple minutes.
Well, the clip is like a minute and a half, so I don't know if we'll have time to play that.
You know who will love that?
From Matt Derrick.
Mick Schaefer will love that audio.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah, but I really want to play it. I really want to play the audio. But we don't have a lot of time because we were talking about KUMU, which is whatever. All right, what do you think happens in the game, Matt? This Bengals-Chiefs matchup, which, by the way, as of today, is now the Chiefs minus 1.5. It's gone from 2.5 to 2 to 1.5 to 2, now back down to 1.5, just as an idea. But go ahead.
I mean, I think the Chiefs – I mean, this to me, this the difference in this game is that the Chiefs are the hunters in this game for the only time in a long time. They don't have the bullseye on their back. They've placed the bullseye squarely on the Bengals. This is the game that the Chiefs want more than Cincinnati does. And there's a range of outcomes. I mean, certainly there's a possibility that the Chiefs just blow them out. And there's a possibility the Bengals do the same thing. I mean, they're that good of a team. They've got the offense. But the Bengals play close games. That's why I think that this is going to be a one-score game. I think the Chiefs want this more. I think they are better prepared for this game. I think they're ready to close it out. I think it's going to be explosive. I think both teams are going to be able to move the football. I mean, like I said, the one X factor I think in this game could be that if the Chiefs' defense outplays itself, then this could be an easy win. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going with the Chiefs 37-31.
37-31 Chiefs, that they are going to score some points against this Bengals team that is damn near close to the same cast of characters on defense as a year ago. The only difference being Taylor Britt, the rookie from Nebraska, cornerback who's filling in for Awuzie, who's on the IR. Everybody else is the same that played in that championship game.
And that's the matchup the Chiefs are going to challenge.
And Eli Apple they wanted to challenge too.
Yep.
So they were able to sort of hide Eli Apple with Awuzie and even Hilton as their nickelback. They can't do that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, because it would be pretty hypocritical to go, well, they got a rookie at cornerback. Chiefs are going to take advantage of that rookie at cornerback. Chiefs secondary, I think it's fine. All those rookies in the secondary for the Chiefs. Like, oh, it's a big advantage because the Bengals have a rookie back there. We'll see. Matt, you're the man. Appreciate it. Kendall Gammon next.